All the council is present, myself, Teresa Hill.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the agenda and additional items to the agenda.
Make a motion. We approve the agenda as written.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Opposed? Motion carries. New business. Well, our budget work session is where we're at.
So what you have in front of you is a revised agenda since the last meeting. Some pretty severe cuts were put into place. We are looking at a deficit from the general fund of $134,363. I did some changing around a little bit. So some of the levy monies were going into the capital fund. What I did is let those go into the general fund and then budgeted a transfer from the general fund to the capital. The reason why I did that is once it's in the capital, it stays there. Yeah. You can go from the general to the capital. So if you decide that you don't want to make those expenditures, then you don't have to make that transfer. Otherwise, that money is sitting in the capital fund for that particular purpose. So I did a little bit of moving around with that, and that's about $100,000 in transfers that would go to the capital fund if you decided to do those. That $100,000 is included in that $134,000. So if you were not going to be doing the transfers, you'd be looking at about $34,000 deficit as it stands now. I also did include the levy from 8 to 10. And just so you remember, that's only about $10,000 per percent.
Yep.
So that only increased that about $20,000. I did some projections from expenditures from where we are now to the end of the year. And with, you know, not accounting for unforeseens, of course, we're looking like the general fund is going to come out a positive. I kind of projected somewhere in the area of $157,000 if, you know, plays out as it is. So you would have a little wiggle room from this year to next year with those additional funds if it plays out like it does. One suggestion that I might like to make is that you kind of go into almost a spending freeze for the rest of the year, and if any equipment items or ticket items, you guys can set that amount, would need to be approved by you prior to ordering or putting into play. I think that gives you a little more control over that end of the year spending. I know departments usually kind of, they'll go without certain things during the middle of the part of the year so that in case something does come up, they can, you know, fund those expenses at the end of the year. But if we can keep an eye on that, control that, keep that down to necessities only, I think that will be beneficial for your next year budget. You can always add things back into your budget next year as you feel fit, but it's kind of hard to take it away.
So
it's in your budget.
With this spending freeze, even just the necessities, could that be brought to your attention first before they spend anything? You know, to make sure that it really is a necessity item?
They can. There's certain things though, you know, if you order, you know, a lawnmower blade per se, you know, that's gonna be a necessity, but, you know, do they need it now? you know, those kinds of situations. So I think I would like to see more of a threshold so that, you know, right now they have a spending authority, and then anything above and beyond that needs to have purchase orders and so on and so forth. So if you set like a spending limit of $100 or $200 or whatever it is, then everything else would have to go through me, and they're going to need to account for their budget spending each month. So they're going to be given their printouts, and you know, if you know, some of the stuff that they've already ordered may not be billed for, but for any of their new stuff purchased or ordered, you know, they're going to need to keep a very close account on it, and that would only be like supply items, fuel items, maintenance items that are of immediate nature. So your squad car goes down, obviously you're going to have to fix it.
Yep.
So, but I just would not want to see, you know, some larger items being purchased.
Just because there's funds?
Well,
because it's in the budget.
Right? Because it's in the budget at this point. You know, that's not saying that what's in the budget they're not allowed to spend, but it requires you guys to approve it.
So what do you think would be a good threshold number for before it comes to you?
That would be your guys' comfort level, but I would definitely say, you know, any purchases over $1,000 have to be council approved. That'll hit any of your large items, unless it's a maintenance item.
Yeah.
I would say anything over
500.
Do you know offhand, given what the plan was, what the budget was for 23, if they are missing or planning on any bigger bigger ticket items that haven't been purchased already that they were holding out till the end of the year?
I would have to review what items those might have been. I think there might have been turnout gear, possibly. That was in the budget. I think there was Lexapol for the PD. That was a larger ticket item. Other than that, I don't recall any off the top of my head, but I would have to go back and look at at those items.
I think that's a good idea. I never thought about a spending freeze, but I think that's a good idea. And maybe with a $500 limit, that'll get them enough to, you know, relatively minor repairs on a squad car or a truck or something, or, you know, and they'll get this, that, or the other. But
How would you be communicating that to them? Are you going to talk to them each individually?
They would each get a memo.
Okay.
They'd each get a memo on it. I don't see all of them every day.
Right.
There's some departments, emergency management, he works nights all the time. The only time I see him is when I'm working nights. Right. So, you know, they all get a memo on it. So they would get the memo, and we'll just kind of go through that procedure.
So that would be what, for council approval, but what about just coming to you if it's not like a couple $100 or something over a couple hundred that they would still have to, you would still be able to question it?
Yeah, whatever dollar amount you want, or if you just want to set the $500 at coming to council. It's whatever.
I just want to see it really tight.
I think tight is a good idea. I think we should include some secondary threshold where they can just go to Teresa and she can use some common sense there.
So $1,000 for
secondary? I would say $500 for council and say $200 go to Teresa. Between $200 and, you know, anything over $200 or up to, well, anything below $500, they can go to her. And just use your common sense on it. I'd say anything less than $200, just let them take care of it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't quite following. But
so under $200, they have their own discretion.
Zero to $200.
$200 to $500 is my discretion. $500 and over is council discretion. Correct.
That's what I meant. Yeah.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes. But if they go to a lot of $200s, then cut them even shorter.
Right.
Well, just they have to be accountable for their budget too.
Yeah.
Now, Do we want to do something special with the fuel budget, or are we going to just...
So fuel, that would be just your... Just what it is. Yeah, okay. You wouldn't need permission for fuel.
I just don't want to have to deal with that.
Right, right. So fuel would be your outlier. Right. And then, they most of them communicate when they have some kind of repair that needs to be done anyway. And so it would just be... If, I wasn't available or something on that order, and they needed some kind of repair done.
Yeah. Do they have turnout gear at the fire department for the new hires or anything? I know this is going to be tough on them to turn down that turnout gear.
Right. Yeah. But I don't know how much they have for spares, if they have any spares at all. I know... My department dropped off about a dozen sets, 10 to 12 sets here a year and a half ago maybe, for them to use as spares. Those should be down there somewhere. So that I would think they would have something, but...
I know we're going to have to put off that turnout gear and the purchase of that, but I sure wouldn't want it to interrupt...
We don't.
The hiring.
If it comes to that point, if they have to have it because they've got somebody that's bigger or smaller or whatever and nothing fits, they'll have to come to us. And the biggest problem we're going to have right now that I know specifically with turnout gear is they are out a ways. Some of them are out 6 months.
Yep.
Some of them are out 6 months to a year.
Okay. So that's
off the shelf stuff.
Good that we have the spares then, but maybe we should find out about that if...
And we're not saying you can't allow the turnout gear. It just means if he wants to do it, he needs to come.
He's
to
got
you
to come
first.
And adjust.
Come to us first,
all.
Right?
Yeah,
right. That's
and
he needs to explain why he needs it.
If we don't need it until next year, that would be great.
Well, my understanding also is there's a couple state fire service. I think that's what they call it. Has some grant money available for new hire for. Turnout gear. They also have some training monies available. I was reading there was a little bit of criteria that the fire department had to partake in a survey or something to be eligible to be funded or something like that.
That can be done.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if that was prior to this, but I know Chris has always managed to get money for new for turnout gear and new employee training and that kind of thing. He's always been able to get funding for that. So that may not even be
a lot of the training issue. Ends up being subsidized, basically. Yeah. The MSFDA or the Chiefs Association or somebody basically reimburses them for the training, necessary training that they end up going through. But the turnout gear could be a bigger ticket item because you're looking at probably $3,000 to $4,000 a set. At least
he had 10,000 in the budget, so he must have been anticipating three sets probably then.
So, but that's easily justifiable if it comes down to that.
No, it's just a matter of going through you guys to do it. It's not saying they can't have their purchases, it's just that they need to make that request.
Right. It would be, well, we can talk to him about that. It would be helpful if he's anticipating X number of new hires or whatever, if we can look into that.
I think they had five applicants and four showed up at the first. What we do is a meeting. The last few years they've done a meeting with the captains. And they met with them, went through everything about the requirements, so on and so forth. And then they have a week to decide if that's something that they want to do and continue to withdraw.
Right.
And then we go through the interview process from there.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
So even if we do interview process, I think we're set for like the 26th of September or something like that for the interview process. You're talking probably mid-October, probably before they're ready to go, because they'll have to do their testing and drug testing and all that good stuff before they can be brought on.
Had the meeting last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have interviews on the 26th.
Okay.
So then you'll know how many new ones will actually be coming on. And I know for next year, I think he bumped his training budget accordingly, because his training budget went up because of the new hires, I believe. Okay. They have certain schooling, isn't it, in the fall? It's usually fall into winter.
Yeah, they do it by semester typically now. Okay. So. Okay.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, I don't want the employees to feel that if they have a safety need or a necessity to keep their employees safe, that you're not going to entertain that. Right. It's just the process of making the request.
Just make sure in the memo that you know, word it like that this doesn't mean you can't get it, but you need to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I think that's a good idea. Do you need that in a motion form? Well, this is a work session, so we'd have to do it.
No, I did this meeting as a special meeting, but we have a work session within that special meeting. So, yeah, okay. You can still make motions. So, anyway, that was just a recommendation. You guys can discuss, you know, sounds like you kind of had an idea what you wanted to do with this current year.
I will make a motion that for the remainder of the year, we put a spending freeze on, with the exception of up to $200. They can use their discretion. From $200 to $500, they need to come to our city administrator to get approval for that. And anything over $500 per item goes to the city council for approval. Did that make sense?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And then question on that. Because I know sometimes time is of the essence, and we meet only monthly. Can we approve that via text? You know, if they have a request, can we say yes or no via text?
If the city council needs to approve it, they need to approve it as a board.
Oh, you do.
So, you would need to make a formal motion on it.
We would. Okay.
If emergency situations come up, then there's always the ability for me to make that call and bring that back for council ratification after the fact. We've done that with other expenses, and maintenance is usually one of those items.
Okay.
So. I'm not sure what the council's feeling is on what's proposed here. I have a resolution adopting the budget and the levy included. The levy is the percentage that we were talking about. So if the council is okay with that, we can open up for discussion on what you think that levy is going to be, because that will definitely drive what's the rest of your discussion at your budget. So if the council decides to decrease that by 2%, you're decreasing it by $20,000. So you have to come up with $20,000 somewhere else. Every percent is about $10,000.
And where are we now, at 10?
You're at 10 right now. The other piece of discussion that I did not factor in under any scenario was the franchise fees that we discussed about at the last meeting. I did get some information back. The city of Janesville does a 5% franchise fees on gross revenues. Last year they brought in $171,000. He said about 8% of their overall general fund budget came in on franchise fees.
And that's, did they say which franchises they have those with? Was it basically across the board, or do they have select ones?
No, so he said their utilities pay 5% franchise fees on gross revenues for the general fund. They have franchise agreements with others that are underground, and he's got in parentheses natural gas, internet, cable, so on. And then they pay 5% as well. Last year, they brought in that dollar amount. So they have franchise fees for basically, it sounds like everybody who's digging in the right of way. So that would be.
Aren't Janesville's utilities city owned?
What?
Like
so
the electric or something? Wasn't.
I don't know that.
No, there's not city owned.
I think it was in the past. I don't think it is.
Oh,
anymore.
They changed it? Because yeah. I thought it used to be public. Yeah. There was.
Well, see, the whole deal with the franchise fees, good. You know, that could be a good idea.
But it comes
but
back
it's,
on the
consumer. It's a tax one way or the other.
It's
so,
literally
I mean,
a tax a different way.
You get
all it
double
is.
Tax.
You can look at.
Well, I wouldn't call it a double tax. It's just another
revenue source.
It's another fee or bill, and it's going to come back on the consumers regardless.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But if you did this, so then you could probably lower the levy. Not, I mean, not a lot, but remember, hey, the levy's only 10,000 per percentage, you know, so.
Well, yeah, I don't know as to how it would affect us until, because we couldn't put that into effect until
2024, probably.
Oh, so next, yeah.
You know, I would look for the revenue stream to start probably next 25. Year if you were looking at doing
correct.
That.
So this year we'd stay as, but looking ahead.
Yeah, yeah, but if you went with the franchise fee, so the franchise fee would be designated to go to street improvements because that's what its purpose is.
Oh.
And that's why those utilities are paying that fee is because they're disturbing our roadways, our right-of-ways,
sure.
Those kinds of things.
Okay.
So
that wouldn't change our agreement with them for repairing those.
No, they still have to put them back in same right. condition as what they left them. But it gives them, basically, they're paying for the right to use those
right-of-ways.
The right-of-ways, yeah.
But it helps us so then we don't have to put as much money into the roads and the fund.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, like, if you generated $50,000, $70,000 next year, that means you could add back in to actually do your seal coating for next year. And you can actually maybe do a little more work in your roads. Because as part of this budget, that seal coating is gone.
Yeah.
And it's a lower amount on street improvements because of, you know, the nature of the cuts. So if you gain that additional revenue, it wouldn't do anything with your levy at this point, but would allow you to actually do the projects that were requested originally, or be able to bank that money to do your project for the next year.
Right.
So when that money comes in, it would get dedicated as street improvements.
Which franchise agreements are up for renewal in the next year?
Right now, I think we just have Centerpoint. I did want to share some of the other ones, though. So, just so I'm not painting just one picture.
Mm-hmm.
So, the city of New Richland does, they charge fees for electric, gas, and cable, $1 per month per bill.
So this is just a flat, it's not a percentage.
Right, yeah. And that's why I just came up with that $51,000 or whatever for one franchise at $5 per household that we had. Lee Center does 5%, and that's Mid-Continent. And we do have one in place that does pay, and that's Mid-Continent. So the city of Montgomery does a 5% too, but theirs is just cable television. So there's only two in the responses that I received that were other than cable.
Does anybody know, does Morristown have any of these?
I don't know.
I haven't gotten any info. I sent out, had the COG sent out an information request for all the members in the COG, and those were the responses that I received so far. So
one. Most everyone has got, you know, all of the utilities we would put this on, but it would help spread some of that fee increase or whatever across the entire city, or all of the users of those without...
That's just information that I had available. But, you know, that's going to require some additional information, I think. November, December, I think the franchise fee comes up. But if you do it for one, you need to do for all. You don't go in just saying you're going to do just natural gas.
We need to do it for all just whenever we redo the franchise agreement?
Or do we? Yeah, Jason would have to work on that part. Okay. I did send him some information from Janesville.
But, I mean, we wait until the franchise agreement comes due to renew.
You wouldn't have
That's what Jason would have to advise you on.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Because I don't know if we can request to open the others. Because they come at different times. The last time we talked about this was when XL was doing their franchise.
Right.
And we brought that up for discussion at that time, and council had chose not to pursue at that time. So, so I think it's something that we can continue to investigate, and knowing that we do have a franchise fee that's coming available, that, you know, we'll probably have more discussion around that, whether or not.
We do have one with CenterPoint.
Yeah.
What are we?
We have franchise agreements, but not necessarily fees.
Oh, okay.
So none of the only one that we charge a fee on is cable TV.
Okay.
And you have, you know, the internet providers coming in. You have telephone. You have other utilities that are servicing and working within those areas too.
Do you kind of basically use the same fee for everybody?
Yeah. Yep. If you do a certain amount for one, you need to do the same for the others.
I didn't say whatever we do, you want to include them all or make them equal.
Yeah.
And how is that negotiated? Is that through like something Jason does, or?
So if it's a franchise fee that's coming available, my understanding is that the city just includes that in that franchise fee. So
in the franchise agreement?
The franchise agreement would be included in that. That fee would be put in that agreement. And then in turn, what XL had told us when we did that, in turn, it shows up on their electric bill. That's the City of Waterville franchise fee. It specifically spells it out, and so that your customer know, or their customers know that that is...
They're paying for it.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not camouflaged at all.
Okay.
What kind of notification needs to be done? Say we decided we were going to implement some sort of franchise fee, what's the time frame for notification for the customers?
I did not get that far into that process. I'm just drawing off of, you know, what we did previously. So we'd have to look at, I believe to do a franchise agreement, you still require a public hearing on it. So you're probably talking just to do the agreement, probably at least 2 months, once for the initial, and then because it's an ordinance that does the franchise.
Our agreement that's coming up with CenterPoint, I assume it's the end of the year,
couple months. I think it's November.
Okay. Is that something that we can do a temporary continuance on to give us time to make a decision on this?
That's a Jason question.
Okay.
Did you work up any numbers on what would $5 do on that franchise fee?
So I only figured it on one utility, and I think I did that number.
We have 600.
The last go around. If you had like 850 at five, it'd be $51,000 a year per one franchise. And that's just saying if you have 850 households
users
or connections. So, and that's just basically what I pulled up our utilities. So I did not figure out a total amount, no. But that would be per entity. So if you did a $5, that's $102,000. If you did water or electric and
Gas.
Gas, and then you have...
Cable.
Yeah, cable we're already getting, yeah. If you do internet and phone.
That would be close to what it sounds like Janesville is doing with their numbers and the totals where that would be.
Yeah, he did a five... Theirs is based off of the gross. So if you're... my guess is whatever you're paying... If you're paying a higher usage, you're going to get a higher franchise on your bill because you consume more.
ISP, yeah.
The percentage could be rough. That could be a little rough. That would vary.
That bases on the user.
It can, but when you come across a high utilization consumer, the school, one of the local businesses that's using more of that, then they should be paying more of the franchise fees. Where if they're doing a flat fee, now you've got the school paying the same as Jennifer or any one of us for the same, you know, but they're using much more of the same service than we are. You know what I mean? So there's give and take on that.
Yeah. This is basically every month that they would get that fee. And then, like, if you had five different things, the consumer would be nail $25 mm-hmm. on all the different things.
And that's just a number I picked on
right.
the hat.
Yeah.
Needs to be more discussion on what council feels would be comfortable with. And if you're looking at doing that, you could get more concrete numbers from the actual utilities. Because that's what we did with Excel, is she was able to go in and take out the information for me and tell me about what that revenue would be.
Yeah.
Based off of it.
If you do that $50,000 a year by five, it'd be $250,000. That's a pretty good chunk
to put money.
In there. I mean, if you if it was like $3 per thing,
well, like a 2% or something.
And I would like to hear what these other cities do as far as. Is it a flat or is it a percentage, and is it based on use? But you can't
hear that. Yeah, I did. So okay. the percentages that are out there on cable, it's just a percentage for cable TV. So is ours. The one that we have is a percentage for cable TV. The other one, New Richland, was a straight dollar, you know, per resident. And the other one was a percentage. So Janesville was a percentage.
Yeah.
Do we get money from Mid-Continent?
We do.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And what does that end up yearly?
I think it's around $4,000 a quarter. About $18,000.
So that a quarter?
A year.
So that's
what
that
I have
goes,
projected.
That goes into the street. Fund?
Right now, that's just going into the general fund.
Oh, okay.
The street fund has always been included in our general fund up until the last couple of years. So that's just doing operations right now.
Okay.
I definitely think it's worth investigating. I don't know if I would go as high as, say, 5%, but it might be worth looking into to help us fund some of the street projects.
I think that's where you're going to have the most impact with... the percentage for the higher use places is going to be a lot of money. If you are at, if you're doing a dollar amount, then you'll eliminate that completely. Whereas 5% in some cases could be $4,000 a year in some places.
And see, that here's the flip side. I understand your argument totally, mm-hmm. and it seems very fair. But the flip side is we also get more tax revenue from businesses and others. Do we not, right, than we do from a single household? So maybe they, again, it might be a break or whatever. But and I'm not trying to value one thing more than another, but
no,
you know
I'm
what
just,
I mean.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I see what you're saying.
Commercial property is also charged a different price per kilowatt, so it's already almost double.
Okay.
Yeah. Should be a flat fee, not get into percentages.
So So I just wanted to bring up that food for thought for you guys to think about.
Talk about that.
You know, we haven't, I have not built anything in, but just wanted you to know there is a potential to gain some additional revenue if you do go that way. And, you know, our street budget just for seal coating and for construction usually hovers around that $200,000 a year. This year, everything got cut back. So, I mean, he's at a fraction of that. So, and, you know, if you're looking at trying to generate back about that dollar amount, that's your target.
Yeah, right.
You know, if that's what you're thinking,
true.
Then you could say, well, you know, we usually run $200,000. That doesn't give you any ability to do any expansion, you know, basically. But if you use that as a target to say we'd like to generate, you know, $200,000 or, you know, $100,000 or whatever of our street department budget for road maintenance, then that gives you the opportunity to kind of...
Yeah, we need to take a serious look at it,
yeah.
See what it comes up with. But I think amount rather than percentage would be much better.
Yeah,
I do want to hear from Jason and see what he has to say, because he'll probably know what the neighboring communities do, so we can... kind of meld that in.
Well, I think I have all of his communities that he represents too.
I
don't have a lesion.
And we don't have to be like everybody else, but it's just, you know, people are going to ask.
No, it just gives us an example.
Yeah.
And the towns there, Montgomery was probably the bigger of the ones. The rest of them are about our same size. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Richland's about the same, that kind of thing. So anyway, now that I probably got you off topic again, I apologize.
We got to the bottom of that.
Yeah, so...
That was something that needed to be talked about, yeah.
Yeah, so what I have in front of you is the levy, and that is set at the 10%, which is about a 100,000 increase from last year. You can always go down, you cannot go up. Most of the entities that I've been hearing in the area are around that 12%. Is what their first go-around is. You know, I think they get some better figures in on aid and stuff, because a lot of that doesn't come available till October. That's when you get certified, like your police aid, your fire aid, and those kinds of things. So you may gain a little bit more there, too. I don't see a whole lot, but... so that's just for your discussion there.
I think we need to keep it at 10%.
I like what you did here, Teresa, and the cuts that we've made, I think.
Yep.
This is the 10% is already figured into this, where the 134,000, right? And if you
correct.
You don't really recommend transferring that into the capital fund, because then it has to be in the capital fund.
Right. If I levy it in the capital fund, then that's where it stays.
So it would be better to leave it in the general fund.
Yeah, if I leave it in the general, even if you're leaving it in the general, you're looking at that deficit of 134. If we don't need to make those changes or transfers, then that money can go back to, you know, stay in the general fund to help offset that deficit. Yeah.
So then we would be like 34,000 that we have to still have to cover.
Correct.
Over the 10% that's already in there.
Correct. And if you did absolutely no transfers. Yeah. I think there's just, for instance, I had the roof here budgeted for $55,000 in the capital fund. I've left it in the capital fund, or, you know, per se, but I would have left the money come in as levy in the general fund. And if my bill was only $20,000, then that would move over. So, you know, you would be saving that additional amount. So we're just kind of a concept, if you understand how the money kind of moves around a little. I think we still have to do some serious looking. I mean, I don't, even $134,000 and doing the cuts that we have, you know, we need to really hone in on some of those things. You know, I went back and critiqued line items and That's how I came up with some additionals, but they're like $500 here, $1,000 here, you know.
Did the department heads come back to you with items that they felt they could?
I had some, yes. I had two departments that came back with suggestions. Emergency management had said that they're not as active as what they had been in the past, so he felt that he could give up some of the training money and so on, because they're not that active right now.
Okay.
And then the fire department came back with a few thousand. I don't remember what the dollar amount is, but he trimmed a little bit back off of a couple of his line items.
Not a major impact, but a little bit.
Yeah, with those two. The other ones, I thought I just went through and, like I said, I analyzed line items. I analyzed wages, so on and so forth. You know, the other item that we will probably be getting into more discussion on is that the SRO contract needs to be redrafted, needs to be put into play. Right now, the school has been paying $17,500. We would need to maybe look at if our officers, that's actually covering our officers' wages. Last time it was not. Council said they felt that it was better to be proactive and have them there and supplement that. Now, if that's a huge spread between what we pay for him to be there now and that, council may have to maybe take a look at, you know, doing something different.
Changing the
Do we know what the difference is now between what they pay and?
I have not calculated that for the next coming year budget. Yeah.
Okay.
So I will be looking at that with the officer that's on duty there, and his wages. So, and then what kind of coverage hours that gives the school compared to what they have been getting. So, and then the council can kind of take a look at what they're thinking. I don't, you know, you're shifting people around, but, you know, maybe if it's important to the council to keep the hours there, and if they're only going to be $17,500 to pay and they're not going to come up with any additional funding, then, you know, maybe they have to have a different officer in the school. I don't know, somebody a lower pay officer or something, or
just like,
you know,
a part-time. Does he work a full shift when he's on duty in the school? Then he completes his shift otherwise, so he's still working a full shift. So then we still kind of have two on at the same time between the chief and the
during the school day. Yeah, and then the chief is off, and then the DARE officer or the SRO then completes the rest of that shift. And then the SRO also pulls weekend shifts.
I do think it's good to have the SRO there, but costs go up. Our cost price go up. I could easily see us asking, it's not even a big jump, but go $20,000.
How many hours 17? A day do they put in now at the school?
That I have not ran. All of the numbers, I haven't looked at the recent schedule, so I don't have a lot of information on that.
Okay. Well, the school day would be about 7 hours.
So they're there the whole day, usually? The school days? No. Mm-hmm. Just certain hours.
Yeah. Sometimes chief will cover the morning part, and the SRO will come in at 10, those kinds of things.
Okay.
It just depends on how it filters out. The other thing is it may, depending on if they do some revisions up at the state, may determine if we can craft an agreement with them that allows our officer to be an officer in the school with all the rights and abilities that he has as a patrolman, as a police officer. The first round of legislation that they put in stripped all of that away.
Right.
Yeah.
Couldn't do anything. They couldn't
restrain.
So, yeah, there's a little bit of an opinion that came out, but it's still not where it needs to be. So Well, Jason is working on that, looking at contracts.
We don't know if they'll make any changes or not, because he isn't going to do a special session for it. And there's a lot of schools are going to lose their resource officers simply because of the restriction of that law. I don't know why they put it in. There was no need for it.
Yeah.
I think there was like 8 of them that pulled their SROs immediately.
Yeah.
I know the league put out something because there was something going around about the league not covering the liability. But the league will cover the liability. It's just they're really not giving the officer the ability to be an officer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that needs to be ironed out. And if there's no kind of an agreement there, you know, the minute the school pays us, we're in an agreement. And he's now an agent of the school, in my opinion. So he falls under that jurisdiction. If we have an ongoing contract with them, same scenario. So that may change things in your budget too. Who knows?
Yeah.
So there are some things that are out there that we just don't know right yet at this moment.
Yeah. I talked to Bradley from the coalition today, and they're working on to see what can be done to try and revise that law and get it done so that they can get every school to have their resource officers back. He said it. He doesn't know. He said it. They go and they talk about it, and you got some of these new young legislators who, you know, up your nose. So there's a battle to go on.
Yeah.
So, end result, you know, basically, this is still a work in progress.
Yep.
It's got to be what your comfort level is with what you want to say for the levy, and we will work from there.
If we don't do these transfers and we have like the $34,000, do you think there might be enough money left in this year's budget that would cover that $34,000, or would we need to add another couple percent?
From what I'm seeing in the general fund, unless I have totally missed something of large nature, because I'm showing adequate fund balance at the end that could cover that, yeah.
So maybe the 10% that we have right now would be enough, we would be good enough for...
If you wanted to do a higher percentage, like I said, you can always come down. If you wanted to do, you know, an extra $20,000 and go to 12%, that's what we put in, that's what comes out in the notices, but you have the right to always go down.
Right. That happens in December, where we have more information?
You will have that, your meeting will be in November.
November?
Yeah, the truth and taxation hearing will be in November. And then from November to December, you can decrease your levy, because after that meeting, then you'll go to approve your final budget and levies.
And then we'll know more in November where this budget is sitting now, too.
I don't think we should go over 10.
Do we know what the county's at yet? Have they given any hint of where they're going to be?
Last I heard, they were speculating at 12%.
They were at 12.5.
Yeah.
Unless they've changed it.
Dave's? Commissioner Pressler said something at the last meeting.
He did talk about that.
But I don't know that he gave a percent, did he?
When I was listening to it, I heard him talking, but he didn't really specify.
No.
Then I was kind of thrown back when he said they had that $600,000 from the police, whatever, that extra funding, that they thought they might only deposit half, save half of it instead of putting it all into that LETG, you know, account, where they would have it all there if they were going to try to use it. Well, why would you do that if you're going to, that public safety, right? That's what it was.
Public safety aid, yeah.
Yeah.
That's at one time.
And if they were going to, I thought, well, that's kind of, when he said half or something, I thought, well, what are you doing that for? But, yeah, I didn't hear him say a percentage.
The county administrator in his last write in the paper was
12.5. Okay. I think we should plan to try to stay
at 10. Beneath.
Stay at 10.
10.
Right.
Okay.
And then if we have to rework things during the year or get tougher on our spending, then we just need to do that.
Yeah.
So the resolution that you have, 2023 R0, 28, and R29, 29 is the percent of the levy that's built into the budget. I did not reprint out the budget, so your budget that will be attached to your resolution will not have all of the columns, you just have additional information.
Right.
So okay. It would be your 2022 amount, 2023 budget, and 2024 budgets is the ones that would be attached for your when we actually put it in with the resolution.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to make a motion that we approve the proposed budget 2023R028 for 2024.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And I'd like to also make a resolution that we adopt the proposed levy 2023R-029 for 2024.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
I guess
I'll make that motion too. I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.